This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the lesson of the ayat of Surah Al-Luqman, the wisdom of Luqman alayhi salam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to pay attention to that beautiful advice and to bring it alive in our own lives. As I keep saying all the time to remind myself and you, that the purpose of all of these lectures is only one, and that is to practice what we learn in our lives. It is not meant for for greater knowledge or more information or more stories to tell people or anything like that. It's meant only and only so that we can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better and we can try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more in our lives. That is the purpose of all of these lectures. My brothers and sisters, I just finished reading a very nice book which I must recommend to you. It's a book by Colonel Chris Hadfield. It's called An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. Colonel Hadfield was the commander of the International Space Station, and he is the person who has spent the longest duration of time in space on the International Space Station. So he, wonderful man. His channel also is there on YouTube. I recommend that to you, so you must watch that. It's wonderful stories from the International Space Station, kind of experiments they're doing there, and about life on the ISS, the International Space Station, and all of that. A very interesting, extremely interesting book. Now, among the many wonderful things that he talks about the size of the visible universe. And we can say that the visible universe is a very, very minute part of the actual universe. Now, you can't make that statement as an absolute definitive statement, because to be able to say that something is a small part or a large part of something else, automatically it means that you also know how much the full extent is. So we can say the full extent is 100 and this is 1, so therefore this is 1/100th of the full extent. One can say that. But if you don't know that 100 and all you know is this 1, then we don't know that this is, we can't say exactly how small. We know it is small because we know it is not the whole universe. So we can't say, well, this is all that there is. It isn't. But how small, we don't know. But what we do know to some extent is what Colonel Hadfield says. He says that our Earth is one planet in our solar system, and which by no means the largest of them. It's among the smaller of them. Mercury is smaller than us, but other than that, we are among the smallest between the three: Mercury, Mars, and Earth. We are one. We are one small planet in the solar system, which is the name given to the bunch of planets which circle our star, and our star is called the Sun. Colonel Hadfield says that our solar system is one of the billions of solar systems in our galaxy, and our galaxy is called the Milky Way, because this is what it looks like in space. It looks like a splash of spilt milk because of the stars in it and so on and so forth. It has this whitish kind of experience of appearance. So Colonel Hadfield says that we are one, our Earth is one planet, one small planet in our solar system, and our solar system is one in billions of solar systems in our universe, in our galaxy. And our galaxy is one of hundreds of billions of galaxies in the visible universe. And the visible universe itself is a minuscule, it's a tiny little part, and we don't know exactly how tiny, of the whole thing, of the whole universe. Now, he says the present knowledge shows us that, that we are, one of, our galaxy is one of hundreds of billions. Now, I'm not saying millions, hundreds of billions. 1 billion is 1,000 million. Now, I don't know whether we are like one pixel in the picture, or maybe, maybe less than that. But that's how it is. Now, despite that, think about that. Despite that, the creator of all of this, not just the creator of the Earth, not just the creator of our solar system, not just the creator of our galaxy, the creator of all these hundreds and billions and trillions of galaxies, and we don't even know what there is. Right? I mean, things like stars and galaxies and planets and other celestial bodies that we know about is what we know. I mean, we don't even know what else there is. And whatever it is, the creator of all of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And for whatever reason known to himself, jalla jalaluhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to honor us, the human race. And I'm not even saying we are the only one honored. We don't know that. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe there are other forms of life and other living things on, zillions of planets in the whole universe who also Allah honored with whatever He honored them with, with religion, with Islam, with kitabs and so on and so forth. But Allah honored us on this earth with His book, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and with His Habib, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom He said that He is the best of the whole of creation. Right? So even if there are books and Anbiya and Rasuls and so on and so forth in other planets, and if there are other forms of life, they may be human-like, they might be others. Rasulullah ﷺ is their imam. He is the imam of all of them, whatever they are. That's the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and that is what I understand when I read this in terms of Imamul Anbiya. Allah did not say Imamul Anbiya fil ard. Allah didn't say He's the imam of the Anbiya on this earth. He said Imamul Anbiya. So whoever, Jibreel alayhi salam, for example, is a Nabi, he is a Rasul. But who is the imam of Jibreel? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Jibreel alayhi salam is also a Rasul. But he is not the imam of the Anbiya. Who is the imam of the Anbiya? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, to come back to the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Allah blessed us with. He blessed us with His book, and He blessed us with His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm saying these two together because they both complement each other. The Kitab of Allah without the teacher of the Kitab, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not make sense to you. The Kitab of Allah without the teacher who told us, who explained the Kitab to us, and who told us how to do what Allah ordered us. The Kitab of Allah gives us the what, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the how. These two are complementary in order for us to live our lives according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the purpose for which we have been sent. Now, we'll come to that in the Living Islam class, inshallah, but just a marker here. So now Allah sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all this, and Allah sent subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave us all this, and He told us about this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the privilege and the honor of worshipping Him, right? And that also not just once, 5 times a day. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. 5 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the honor of worshipping Him. Yet, I request you, think about how eagerly we wait for that call of the Muazzin? How eagerly do we wait for that? Or is it a burden for us? Right? Today we are living in times where masajids are closed by and large, even when they are open, we stand far apart, thanks to COVID and so on. But this is not the norm. This is not something that, inshallah, will remain even for a long time. This will end, and we will go back to the actual form of the salah, which is that we will go to a point when the muezzin calls, inshallah, we will flock to the masajid, we'll fill the masajid, and we will stand properly shoulder to shoulder for our salah by jama'ah. Inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a reality very, very soon, inshallah, so that we can show Allah how much we love Him and how much we love worshipping Him, inshallah. So point I'm making is that leave this current period of a few months that we have been maintaining social distance. Just think about the time before that, before COVID came to remind us that there is Allah. May Allah protect us from ourselves. We needed this COVID reminder to tell us and show us that we are not the masters of this universe, because we had gotten used to living in this world as if we own the place, as if this is ours. I own this earth, I can do whatever I like here, nobody can question me. This was the attitude of the human race. And this is what brought about COVID-19 as a reminder for us to say that, no, hold on, give me a second. You are not the owners of this. You are one organism on this, even though you might be overweight and so forth, you're one organism on this planet, and you are subject to the same rules and regulations and the same usul that Allah has put for everybody else. And the primary one of those usul is that you will die. That you will, I'm looking to see there's a bird sitting right behind me and singing. The basic fundamental usul is that you will die and you will be called to account. Don't forget about that. Don't forget that. And since we refuse to listen to that, since we refuse to listen to all the admonitions and the warnings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to send a tiny little organism, a little virus, not even, Allah didn't even honor us with a bacterium. Allah sent us a virus. Which is, people are not even sure, can it be called a living being, or is it just a program, right? It's not a computer program, but it's a program which comes and starts operating the moment it hits the place, which is our nasal passages. It starts operating, and then nothing can stop it, right? Nothing can stop it. All we can do is eat paracetamol and pray. Now, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to remind us of His presence in our lives, to remind us of His greatness, of His glory, of His majesty. Very sad that we have to be reminded in these ways. You know, sometimes people complain, even, oh, why did God have to do? You tell me why God had to do. You tell me why God had to do. Look at the amount of injustice on the face of this earth. Today I'm talking to you on the 19th of June, which is a Friday. And I don't know how many of you know about this, but this is called Juneteenth. And the reason why it's called Juneteenth is because June and 19th have been put together in this world, in this word called Juneteenth. The reason why that's done is because when slavery was emancipated, when slavery was abolished in the United States in 1736, Texas was way down, and it was far away from the Union Army and so on. So even though slavery was abolished in all the northern and southern states, in the Carolinas and so on, which were closer to the north, Texas somehow got left out. And slavery continued in Texas for another 2.5 years. And eventually, a proclamation was made on the 19th of June, when slavery was finally abolished, and that's why it's called Juneteenth. Now, imagine, slavery is the worst crime against humanity, because nobody, Allah did not give the right to anyone to say that he or she is superior to another human being because of their birth. Nobody. Right? Even the best, the absolute best of creation, according to us Muslims, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Even Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that I am superior to you as a human being. Right? Not only did he not say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the words in his blessed, on his blessed tongue, and he recited the kalam of Allah. He recited the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, which we read every Jummah in Suratul Kahf. And what is that speech? Qul ana basharum mislukum. Say, I am a human being like you. And Allah sends on me wahi. Now that is an aspect of his job. So it is like the king saying, I am a human being like you, but I rule this country. So in terms of being the king, in terms of his authority, in terms of his power, in terms of his job, that is different from the ordinary human being. The king has more power and authority and so on because he has more responsibility, he's more accountable than the normal, ordinary human being. But as a human being, the king is exactly the same as the one who is selling watermelons on a pushcart, or somebody selling flowers by the roadside, or even somebody begging on the street. There's no difference in humanity. Now, this is Islam. Islam says there is no caste system. There is no caste system. There is no creed. There is nobody who is superior or inferior to another human being on any basis. No, neither in terms of facial features, nor in terms of skin color, nor in terms of whatever that you can imagine. There is no human being who is superior to another human being. No man is superior to any woman. No woman is superior to any man. No white person is superior to a black person. No black person is superior to a white person. No brown person is superior to a yellow person. No yellow person is superior to a brown person. Nobody but nobody is superior to anybody else. The only superiority lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And he mentioned that to us and said, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Your superiority is based on what is in your heart and your behavior. The extent of your taqwa, the extent to which you are concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you say, in everything you do, and that should be visible in your actions. And the degree of that, only Allah knows, because it's a state of the heart. Now, this is Islam. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us his kitab so that we can listen, we can understand, and we can practice it in our lives, and so that we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And that is the reason why in Surah Luqman, this set of ayat that I mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Luqman alayhi salam and his advice to his son, before Allah comes to the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and reminds the readers of his kalam to be thankful to him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Anishkur lillah. Anishkur lillah. Right? Wa'idh qala Luqmanu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Luqman alayhi salam, anishkur lillah. وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. And verily we bestowed upon Luqman wisdom. And what is that? What is the fundamental part of that wisdom? أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. To be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All wisdom begins with thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how can we thank Allah? What is the method of thanking Allah? Is it enough simply to say, thank you so much, and then we do whatever we like? Think about this. Let me give you an example. And ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah is above and over and above any example. Example is only to illustrate. Say, for example, your friend has a Ferrari, right? He's got this Ferrari. And maybe it's your dream to drive a Ferrari. It's not my dream, I'm just saying maybe it's your dream, to drive a Ferrari. So you say, oh wow, fantastic. The moment you look at your friend's Ferrari, you know, you're drooling, you're so desperate. Oh my God, fantastic, blue, you know, fabulous, oh, I wish I could drive it. So your friend says, most welcome, please go. Here's the key, right? Drive the Ferrari. So now you take this Ferrari, you say, oh, thank you so much. Now you take this Ferrari and you shoot out of his driveway and then you spin on the highway and, you know, there's smoke coming out from the wheels and then you floor it and now you are doing 200 miles an hour on this Ferrari. And if you put your hand out like that, maybe you'll get airborne, or at least you think you'll get airborne. And, you know, there's traffic coming on both sides and you're going like this through traffic and zipping. And then next thing you know, there's a police helicopter on top and you're trying to outrun the helicopter. And eventually, you know, they catch up with you and there are barriers and whatnot. And in the process, you go and you hit a barrier and you trash the Ferrari. And then you come and you stand in front of your friend and say, oh, fantastic, thank you so much. That was a beautiful experience. That was a fabulous experience. And the friend says, what about the Ferrari? Oh, that got trashed. That got trashed. Tell me, does it make sense to you? Does this make sense to you? Is this thankfulness? So would you say that you are a thankful person and, you know, your friend gave you this beautiful car and he blessed you with his friendship and you were grateful to him? Can you say that? Is it a sign of gratitude to take something which somebody gives you and misuse it and trash it and damage it? I know it's a dumb question. I know it's a stupid question, but I'm sorry to ask you a stupid question. But this is the actual reality of what we try to do with our lives. Believe me, your life and my life is far, far, far more important than any Ferrari. Right? Because the human life is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life. And this is the greatest gift that Allah gave us, because with this life, Allah gave us the opportunity to earn Jannah. Allah gave us this life with the opportunity to please Him by being thankful to Him, to obey Him. And in order that we may live this life in a way which is a thing of beauty and dignity for ourselves and a thing of harmony and benefit for everybody else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the manual of how to live, the operations manual of how to live this life, which is called the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to the operations manual, Allah gave us this beautiful teacher who taught us this operations manual, not merely by talking and lecturing like we try to do, but by actually living that message, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Now, if we take this gift of Allah, which is life, and we trash it. And what is that trashing? That trashing is to worship anyone other than Allah. That trashing is to abuse ourselves. Substance abuse of any kind, alcohol, tobacco, drugs, this, that. If we live our lives in a way which are destructive, our ways are destructive. If we destroy Allah put us into this beautiful planet, right? Beautiful planet. I'm deliberately recording these videos. I'm trying to find nice locations so that you get some nice views. I'm sorry for spoiling the picture by being in the middle of it, but you know, that's part of your test in this life. So try to cut me out from this and just watch and look and see the roses here and the beautiful grass at the back and the water behind, so that you can appreciate. You can appreciate the khudrat of Allah, the beauty of Allah. Now, the videos of mine in Vilpattu and Yala and all that in Sri Lanka, in the forest. I try to do that so that, you know, at least you can appreciate this Qudrat of Allah, beauty of Allah. I mean, each one of us is living in a different aspect of the Qudrat of Allah. You don't necessarily have to be sitting in front of a rose bush to see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is visible for anyone who wants to open his eyes and look. No matter which city you are living in, no matter which desert you are living in, no matter which forest or wilderness you are living in, everything and everywhere and every season has its own beauty. Right? So, this is the Qudrat and this is the glory and majesty of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us here. Now, if we don't thank Allah, and if we take this life and we trash it, we're trashing ourselves. I mean, you're not doing anything to Allah. But you're trashing yourself. Then you say that, how's that thankfulness? So what must we do? What must we do to ensure that we are thankful? And that's the first lesson of the lessons of Luqman al-Islam. I'm not forgetting it, the last lesson also was on shukr. Believe me, we can talk about shukr for every single lesson from now until the day I die. We still would not have fulfilled the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be thanked. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot thank Allah. You cannot even count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you tried. Counting is just 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not even thanking. Allah is saying even the counting you will not be able to do if you wanted to do it. So let alone the thanking. But we want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah told us to thank Him and because we want to thank Him. We are so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, how can you thank Allah? There are three requirements. There are three things that you and I need to do if we want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make that thanks at least somewhere equal to what is His right. I don't say it's equal. Nothing can be equal to His right, what we do. We ask Allah to take our broken little action and to then beautify it in a way that pleases Him and to accept it, inshallah. Three things. First one, that we think of and we mention His blessings and thank Him for them. So the first thing is to say, O Allah, Alhamdulillah, all praise, all thanks be to You that I am sitting here in these beautiful surroundings. All praise and thanks be to You that the sun is not hot. That it's a nice cloudy morning. All praise and all thanks to You that it's not raining. Because it could be cloudy and very beautiful, but I can't sit outside here because it is raining. It's not raining, it's misty. There's a little bit of moisture in the air, but it is not raining. All praise and all thanks to You that I could be sitting here and dozing, or I could be sitting here and doing anything else, but instead of that I'm sitting here and I'm thanking You. I'm sitting here and I'm making Your zikr. All praise and glory and thanks to You that You gave me a phone, small little piece of technology that enables me also to share this beauty with all the beautiful people who are listening to this and who will listen to this going forward. So it's a means, inshallah, of Sadaqatul Jariyah for me. All praise and glory and thanks be to You, which gives me the opportunity to request all of you guys to make dua for me when you watch this and when you remember this. Now I can go on more and more and more, and none of that will be sufficient, and it will not even amount to counting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm just saying this to illustrate to you what I mean by saying that we need to count and thank. So the first requirement is we actually mention that blessing. Ya Allah, You gave me eyesight. You gave me color, full color eyesight. So I can appreciate the rose, color of the rose, the reds and the pinks of the roses. I can appreciate the blue of the water behind me. I can appreciate the blue of the sky, which is a different kind of blue. It has cloud in it, which gives it a sort of blue-gray texture. I can appreciate the green, the different shades of green. There's the green of the grass behind me. There is the green of the evergreen tree over there. And there's another tree at the back there. That one there, which is a different shade of green, and then right in the back on the other side of the inlet of the sea there is an island, and it fades off into the blues. There is the chimney here next to me, which is dry stone, that has a brown. All of this I'm able to appreciate not only because I have eyesight, but because I have full color vision. If I did not have full color vision, this picture would be black and white, and it would not be half as beautiful as it is now. Those of you who don't believe me, take a screenshot, go into photo editing, make it black and white, and you know what I mean. Right? Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us all of these technologies today in our little cell phones, and we can do all of these, you know, funny things with them. Let us use them in order to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us use the technology to help us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first and foremost thing is we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings, for what he gave us. The second thing is that we live a life in complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a demonstration of his orders. So I'm thanking Allah, and the way of thanking Allah is to live my life according to how Allah wanted me to live his life, how he wants me to live my life. I thank my friend for allowing me to drive his Ferrari, and then what do? I drive it very, very carefully. I do try out the speed. I mean, the whole point of driving a Ferrari is to be able to, is to try and drive it fast. But I do that in a place where it is safe to do that. I ensure that I am treating that car better than I treat or than I would treat my own car, because this does not belong to me. This has been given to me in trust. This life has been given to us in trust. This life does not belong to us. That is why suicide in Islam is haram. Suicide is an expression of complete despair, total despair. A person committing suicide is a person who has lost all hope. A Muslim does not lose hope at all. A Muslim does not lose all hope. A Muslim does not lose even a small piece of hope, because we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no problem on the face of this earth that we can or will ever face, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot solve for us if he wants to. So when a Muslim faces a problem, Muslim says, well, how can I persuade my Rabb? How can I persuade Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to solve this for me? That's a red-shouldered blackbird. It's called a red-winged blackbird. Beautiful bird. It has red on the shoulders and doesn't have a very nice call, but that's a very magnificent bird to look at. Anyway, so a Muslim is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, what do? We treat what Allah gave us with respect, which means that we treat it the way he wants it to treat us, to treat. And what is that thing? It's my life. So as I said, my life is a trust. So suicide is haram because suicide is an expression of lack of hope, of despair. And a Muslim does not despair. The one who despairs is committing kufr. The one who is despairing of the mercy of Allah, this person is denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is denying that Allah is merciful. If you say Allah is merciful, then how can you deny his mercy? If I say Allah is merciful, then how can I commit suicide? I cannot commit suicide. Because whatever happens to me, may Allah protect all of you from all evil, from all difficulties, from all diseases, from all suffering. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how beautiful is the state of the believer that if he gets something good which he likes, he thanks Allah. And if he gets something which is difficult, then he has sabr, he does not complain, he does not moan and groan, he does not blame Allah. He has sabr, he has patience, and Allah rewards him. So when he thanks Allah, Allah rewards him. When he has sabr, when he has patience, Allah also rewards him. So he's getting reward from both sides. So why would he despair, right? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a Muslim, if a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if a thorn pricks his foot, Allah forgives a sin for him. The problem, the difficulty, the pain is in this world, which is finite, which is limited, but the reward of it is in the next world, which is infinite and which is forever. Now, we don't ask for pain, obviously, because we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from pain. But if we do get some pain, then we are thankful. There's a little house wren which is hopping around. I wish I had another camera which I could, you know, take these pictures and show you. So take my word for it. He's hopping around looking for insects. So the thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, even if you have difficulties, a Muslim doesn't lose hope. Right? There's no loss of hope. Yes, there's a difficulty, so we will face it. A Muslim faces difficulty with courage. With courage. He stands up and he says, I will face difficulty with courage. A Muslim does not oppress, because to oppress is zulm. To oppress anybody is evil. It is zulm. It is something which is transgressing the boundaries that Allah set for us. And also equally, it is zulm to accept oppression. Because it is zulm to oppress and it is zulm to accept oppression. Right? Zyadati karna zulm hai aur zyadati ko qubool karna bhi zulm hai. That's why I mentioned to you slavery. To enslave people or to support slavery is zulm, it is oppression. And to accept that situation is equally evil. And it is equally zulm. Because if you are accepting that situation, then it means that you are supporting the slaver. You are supporting the slave owner. You are supporting the one who is enslaving you. You must fight it. We all fight. Every Muslim must fight against slavery of any kind. Any kind of racism, any kind of slavery is something that a Muslim must stand up and he must fight. Our Prophet Rasulullah ﷺ didn't tell us to accept and to cow down and bow down to oppression. He told us to stop oppression. He said, if you, and the hadith of Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, where he quoted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that if you see anything wrong, any wrongdoing, which is oppression, which is anything, why it doesn't have to be slavery, but whatever, and of course it includes slavery, he said, if you see anything wrong happening, then stop it with your hand. Go and stand up against that person, hold that person's hand and say, you can't do this. And he said, if you are so weak that you are unable to do that, then speak out against it. Do not sit silently. Do not just watch that thing and sit silently. Speak out against it. And he said, even if you can't do that, then hate it in your heart. Meaning what? Meaning you don't do it yourself. You don't practice it yourself. You don't accept that this, what is happening, is okay. In your heart, you hate it. And he said, that is a sign of the weakness of your faith. That is a sign of a disease of your heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling us that if you are not speaking out against oppression, something is wrong with you. And it's your heart which is in problems. What must you do with oppression? Stop it with your hand or speak out against it. So the second thing for us to do in order to thank Allah is to live our lives according to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is the expression and the manifestation of the orders of Allah. And the third thing we need to do is that we never use Allah's blessings for his disobedience in doing anything that Allah does not like. Like I gave you the example of the Ferrari. What must you do? You thank the person who gave you, who lent you, who loaned you that Ferrari. Then you get into that car and you drive it carefully. Enjoy yourself. Thank the person. Bring that car back to that person in pristine condition. You do not take that car and abuse it, because that would be gross thanklessness of that person. No matter how much you thank that person when you got into the car, no matter how much you thank that person when you got the keys of the car, if you are going to abuse that car, then you are being grossly thankless and you are expressing ingratitude to that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa in kafartum inna adhabi la shadid." He said, "The one who is ungrateful to me, beware, my punishment is severe." We ask Allah to protect us from his punishment. So the point, therefore, three things to do. One is to thank, actually say thank you. Number two is to live our lives according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means on the sunnat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third thing is never to abuse those things which Allah gave us by doing things which Allah dislikes. So Allah gave us eyesight, never look at haram, never look at pornography. Right? I mean, I don't know, is it ajeeb? Somebody sent me this whole things about pornography and what people and these Muslims believe or say they believe about pornography. And some of the things they say, no, it's okay. We can watch pornography because the people who are doing it willingly. First and foremost, that is a gross and total lie. Gross and total lie. There is no woman on the face of the earth who actually wants to do what is shown in pornographic films. It is not my subject here. Maybe I'll talk about that later. But just to give you a pointer, no woman on the face of the earth. Those women are enslaved. Those women are put to terrible punishments if they do not do what they do. That's number one. Second thing is, irrespective of that, even if that is happening, even if you say that what is happening, those men and women doing the haram which they are doing on that screen, they are doing it willingly, wantingly, they love it. Where on earth did you get this thing that the religion which prohibits you from looking at the face of a non-mahram woman, and where you are, as a man, you are told, lower your gaze. Don't even look at the face of a non-mahram woman. This is our religion. Where did that religion give you the permission to look at people copulating on screen? Are you mad? Have Muslims completely lost it? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah gives you eyesight for this. This is what I mean. Abusing the blessings of Allah. Allah gives us eyesight, we use it for haram. Allah gives us hearing, we use it to listen to haram. Allah gives us speech, and we use it for haram. We use it for profanity, we use it to abuse people, we use it for yelling and screaming. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. My brothers and sisters, time to wake up. Time to wake up. The corona came to wake us up. Let us wake up before we are brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want to be dragged in chains before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then dragged away into the hellfire. We want to be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invited to come and make sujood to our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu and to receive his blessing and to receive his forgiveness and his mercy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you from his treasures until you are pleased, and then to give you even more as a mark of his majesty and grace and as a mark of his generosity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free this world from slavery of every kind. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish the enslavers in a remarkable way which stands out. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free all people who are being enslaved, no matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter who is trying to enslave them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support and to strengthen the hands of all those who are fighting against slavery, and to include us in them, so that when the lists are read out on the day of judgment of those who fought against slavery, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause that your name and my name is in that list of people who fought against slavery. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.